Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's 7 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. on this winter's cold, chilly morning. And we have Maulana Bam, who's also feeling the cold, mashallah, is doing the program this morning from the office. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. A change of weather, good for us, Maulana?
Huh?
A change of weather, good for us, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, a quick recap of last week.
We should thank in the favors of Allah Ta'ala, we've had good weather, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, a quick recap of last week's program and also what we can look forward to in today's program.
Well, we're continuing the discussion we started off last week. It has been very beautifully entitled, Use the Right Flavor. And the author has started off this chapter in such a beautiful way by saying that while there are aspects that nearly every person unanimously love and appreciate, and things which they unanimously dislike, there are also things in which people differ. Some people, for example, like joking. Some people are not so fond of excessive joking. Some people like to be extroverts. Some people like to be introverts. Some people may love to talk excessively, while others may not love to talk excessively.
Mm.
And often people feel comfortable with those of the same nature as themselves. And then the author gave a very beautiful example of a family that he was aware of, in which the mother was an elderly person whom everyone, all the brothers and sisters, tried the utmost to get the mother close to them. But there was one son that the mother favored over the rest. And one day he asked the son, what is the reason why the mother loves you more than anyone else? And he laughed and he said, allow me to tell you the secret. He says, my mother is like any other aged woman who loves to talk about issues about the community, who got married, who divorced, who has so many sons, and what are the children's name, what is the name of the first child. He said, all the other children consider this frivolous. But she loves chatting about it. So when I go and visit my mother, I only speak about those aspects. And that is the reason why my mother seems to favor me above all the other children. And I related this and I said that I know my maternal grandmother, my nani, used to love one of my mamajis, the eldest mamaji, for the same reason that he used to come and speak to her things that she used to appreciate. And then we also look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he dealt with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he did not deal in the same way with Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khadija. And she, because they were more senior, more dignified, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was young, enthusiastic, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with her, raced with her. Sometimes Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to listen stories from her. Sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to joke with her. And that is also the situation that we did last time. And I think one more thing I would just like to say is how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also chose the right people to do the right thing. So you also have to know who is good in what to be able to take out the best from them because it suits them. And we gave this example that because Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and accepted Islam and was forced to come to the Battle of Badr, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba that do not, when you come through and you come across Abul Bakhtari bin Hashim bin Al-Haris and Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib in the Battle of Badr, do not kill them. And Utba bin Rabi' was one of the leaders of the Quraysh. His son Abu Hudhaifa was a Muslim. And he said, if I meet him, I will kill him. Why should we leave him? And spare, why should we spare him and take the life of our own parents? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that this was not the time for disagreement before the eve of a battle. And he looked at Umar and said, oh, Abu Hafs is the face of the uncle of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger to be struck with a sword. Hazrat Umar رضي الله عنه said, the first time that I heard Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم using this word Abu Hafs, and he became very famous for that name and that taqunam, that kuniyat. And thereafter, Umar رضي الله عنه understood the message, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, should I take action and use my sword to strike off the neck of this person? And Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, that's not necessary. But the threat was enough. So you see how Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم realized the situation, used the right person to pass on the right message. So I think this is very important, how to use the right flavor, the right words at the right time, the right temperament with the right person, and the right emotion with the right person, and sometimes the right person for the specific task.
Interesting indeed, and we will be exploring this topic further, and we'll be bringing in more examples from the book, chapter 17 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al Arifi. The SMS line to the program 48855, the WhatsApp number 072-786-1548, that's 072-786-1548. Alternatively, tweet Maulana Bam at Ibrahim Bam or message him on his site 083-786-2859. It is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and we are discussing chapter 17, Use the Right Flavor. Basically, in a nutshell, the author is saying, different strokes for different people. Different things make different people tick. So you need to understand that and use it accordingly to your advantage. Maulana, we have a caller before we start our discussion. If you allow me, I'll take that call.
Yes, surely. Sure.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana
is regarding my wife and her brothers. They are two sisters and they are three brothers. Apparently there was no will for the mother and for the father. And legally now the home is sold and agreed upon all five of them, they have to have equal share. This was agreed between the brothers and sisters. But not realizing, according to Sharia, if one is marhum, that is alive, prior to their mother, prior to their father, and passed away before their father and passed away after their mother. How do this work out? It's such a delicate situation that I'm sitting with my wife, that the brother decides now that no, there's no legal shares between all five of them. They have to pay according to one person, only has to pay, the two sisters have to pay according to the Sharia, and the three brothers are not going to pay the Sharia money to the late marhum's wife.
But that's a very, very specific type of question. And I think to ask it over the air, my suggestion is that you speak to the Jamiat office, and there's a person specifically dealing with complicated or somewhat estate issues which require further attention. I think you could maybe speak to Mufti Yusuf Dokar, phone the office and make an appointment to come and see him and discuss the matter with him.
011-373-8000, my brother.
011-373-8000.
Jazakumullah. Okay, today's topic is with regards to interpersonal skill and understanding the nature of people. So let's keep that, inshallah, in mind, and we are going to be keeping our discussion on those lines. Maulana, you can start.
I think very important, would there be listeners out there who can sort of give an example, or maybe just relate from the experience, that we dealt with a person in a way, and then when we changed the attitude and we changed the way, then we found them that it brought better results. What is the right flavor? And I think by and large, many a times, dispute in relationships and in families is because people do not understand the nature and temperament of people. So sometimes you feel that harshness is going to cause, I'm going to bring about results, when in reality, kindness would have brought much better results. Sometimes there are situations where a certain degree of discipline is required, and you need to take a stance on a matter, especially sometimes with children. And then how do you deal with it? Then also using the right flavor, the right arguments, the right way to be able to bring the specific type of results. And I think there are many examples of this from the beautiful life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way the author had said, yes, everyone has a special key to open his heart. Even his love and influence him. We notice this often in our lives. Perhaps you have heard work colleagues say that if you want to get the manager to agree on something, then so-and-so is the key. Or if you want anything, ask so-and-so to speak to him on our behalf. Why not use that very same skills that person has to open up people's heart and you be a head instead of being a tail? Mm. Yes, be special and look for the keys with which to open up the hearts of your parents, wife and children. Find the key to the heart of your manager at work and your colleagues. Knowing the key to their hearts, help them accept good advice when it is offered. SubhanAllah. Maulana, so important. So when you know their temperament, then even when you want to tell them good things, you will know how to open up the keys of their heart. When a young person came to ask Nabi Karim SAW to commit zina and adultery, Nabi Karim SAW knew with what keys to open up his heart and appeal to him. And he told him, would you like the same to be with your mother, with your sister, and your daughter? And he said, no. He said, any woman that you want to do wrong to is going to be in a similar manner the mother, sister, or the daughter of someone. Therefore, you should also not like it the way you don't like it for your own family members. He understood. Sahaba said, there was no one who was more chaste and more careful in this particular regard than him after the advice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Knowing the keys to the heart helps them accept good advice when it is offered. And that is the advice is presented in an appropriate manner, as people do not all react the same way when advised. You, if you are a parent, if you are a teacher, if you are a da'i, you have to know with what key I must open up the lock of the heart of other people. And that we learn from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. That's such an important point to make also. Allah also understands the temperaments of human beings, and Allah has kept the hidayat of each person in different fields. So some people are very vociferous, they are, alhamdulillah, they come across very eloquently. So for them, a powerful speech is very motivational and they are able to inspire people. So some people's hidayat is written through talks, some people's hidayat is written through tabligh, some people's hidayat is written through khanka, some people's hidayat is written through the darul ulum, some people's hidayat is written through different fields. So Allah has kept it. So different things make people tick, and accordingly they find the hidayat and the guidance. So Allah has accommodated this in His own Sharia also. So that's the makeup of human being. And we need to, we can't use the same stroke for every person. And
yes,
we can't.
Sometimes, you know, it's amazing. Yesterday I was in the tafsir lesson, I related to the people a most interesting incident of how one sentence changed the life of a person. And maybe, I don't know if I can, Moa, can I just share this incident?
By all means, Moa.
Sheikh Hamiduddin Abu Hakim Qurayshi Rahmatullah Ali was a very great Sheikh, but he initially was the ruler of a very interesting part of India-Pakistan. He was a ruler of what is known in the books makes mention that he was the ruler of a place between Kutch and Makran. Mm. If anyone knows the geography of India-Pakistan would know, Kutch is right near Gujarat. Amazing, Gujarat is very close to Karachi. But there is a border there which people do not use, and you're not allowed to use it because the border is closed. But Gujarat and Karachi is very, very close to one another. In fact, from Gujarat, when you come out to the border of India, you come right near Hyderabad, which is very near. So he was the ruler of that particular type of land between Kutch and Makran. And one day, you know, he used to rest at a particular place in the afternoon. So the khadima or the servant who used to prepare his bed and prepare his surroundings and environment for him to rest during the afternoon, one day thought that, you know, let me see how beautiful this bedding is. And she went to sit on the bedding and she fell asleep. Because she fell asleep and she was only assigned to clean up and not to sit and sleep there, when they came to know about it, they decided to punish her. And when they punished her, while they were punishing her, she was laughing. Mm. And the king was very, very interesting to know why she was laughing. And asked her, why are you laughing? She said, the thought came in my mind that if I slept on this bed for one day, I'm being punished. what will be the situation of that person who sleeps on this bed every day?
Allahu
Akbar. For one day I slept in this bed and I've been punished, what will be the position of that person who sleeps on this bed every day? He said that the king had such a shock. He left his sultanate. He left his bachat. He left his kingdom. And he went out in to go and study knowledge. And he became Sheikh Hamiduddin Abu Hakim Qureshi. So, you know, it's a very, very amazing kaya palat jumla. This is how this incident has been placed under this title. A sentence and a word that changes a person's life. And I mean, Moana, we sometimes don't realize, and I don't know if listeners can get just a little bit of a humorous type of incident. What, never mind one sentence, never mind one word, one letter can make a difference. There's this humorous incident, a person went for a journey, and he was, while in the journey, his business colleague took him to a very scenic place. So he sent a message down to his wife, I wish you were here. He wanted to say the letter, I wish you were here. And he forgot the E of the last word. And instead of saying, I wish you were here, it read out, I wish you were her. Can you imagine what type of problems they had? Say, one letter can make such a big difference. Can you imagine what words will make a difference when you present it to people?
Interesting indeed. And also a similar story of Ibrahim ibn Adham, how he changed his life. So here we learn that different things are making different people tick, and that's what we need to keep in mind. Murad, there's many examples quoted by the author. Perhaps we want to...
here again with regard to the right person to do the right thing. Huya ibn Akhtab was the leader of Bani Nadir, and part of the agreement with Bani Nadir was that Bani Nadir, in terms of the agreement that they are going to be exiled from Medina, was they're not going to hide anything, right, from after Khaybar. So Huya ibn Akhtab came back and he hid some of the wealth from what was agreed upon. And when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him coming back to Medina and spending lavishly, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that he had hid some of the wealth where he was not supposed to hide it as part of the agreement. So he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, and he started slipping away and started lying. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that he was lying, so he looked at his companions, who were many in number, and each of them understood his message, that we need to send out a strong message so that the agreement could be abided by. And Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu got up, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Zubair, give him a taste of the discipline that is required if he does not abide by the decision. And Zubair began to approach the man, who was terrified, knowing that the situation was grave. He said, well, I did see Huye once going to this deserted place and pointed to an old abandoned house. And when the Muslims went to the house, they found the hidden well that was there. How Nabi Karim Sallam used Zubair in this particular incident to be able to send a specific message.
Yes, indeed. And Marana, sometimes, you know, they say in Gujarati or Urdu, Latoka boot, bato se ne manta.
So sometimes, and of course, we looked at Hudaybiyah also as an example. Nabi Karim Sallam sent Uthman radiallahu anhu. As I said that day, that Uthman radiallahu anhu was a perfect person because the Quraysh loved Uthman. And Nabi Karim Sallam wanted to give a message of peace, that we have come here for Umrah, we have not come here to fight. And who could have been better to pass on that message than Uthman radiallahu anhu?
The lines are open, 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 0727-86-1548. We're going for a quick commercial break. When you come back, inshallah, we'll continue. Chapter 17 of the book, Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi, and we are discussing the chapter relating to interpersonal skills, using the right flavor. Murana, also last week we spoke about, you know, when you're interacting with people, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept in mind, and you gave the example of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, etc. Sometimes it means that even though you're in a senior position, you have to adapt to people who are junior to you, Murana.
No, definitely. It's very important that we do that, because a leader is he who takes into account each and every aspect with regard to it. And look at how Nabi Karim Sallam took, and I gave this example of Uthman radiallahu anhu, that Nabi Karim Sallam was sitting with Abu Bakr and Umar, and Nabi Karim Sallam said formally, and Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said informally, and when Uthman radiallahu anhu came, he got up, he put his kurta right, he put his lungi right, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala observed this. And when she asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he replied, "Why shouldn't I show modesty to the one even the angel shows modesty to?" Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the temperament of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala into account, the way he dealt with him. If the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that, why can't we do that? Why can't we then adapt ourselves according to the temperament of the people whom we are dealing with? Are we greater than the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then we find that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sometimes use the right people, always the right flavor, the right word, the right person, the right type of example. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unable to perform the prayers and lead the prayers and be the imam due to his illness, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, give Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala the command that he should lead the prayers. And when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala cries a lot, maybe he is not the appropriate person, she perhaps felt that people would not take kindly to a person who occupies the musalla of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she put this, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuked them and said, "You are like the woman of Julaika. You are trying to tell me things that is against what I want to achieve." And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted on Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to be the imam, alluding to the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was the most deserving of being a khalifa after him. It was as if he was saying, "I'm not present, so let Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala take up the responsibility." And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, "Order Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer," until Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala finally led the prayer and became the imam. Even though Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was a very soft-hearted person, he was at the same time held in very high regard. And this is why our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him there. In fact, many a times if you look at the role Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala played after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, you know, I heard from some of our ulama and some of our ustads who used to tell us that it seemed that the khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, I heard my ustad Mufti Ahmad Rahman Sahib saying this, that I heard the khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was to soften the impact of the sadness of the death of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Sahaba. And he said this was like to soften the impact of the sadness of the departure of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, using the right argument at the right time. When after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, the author gives this example in the book, after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then when the Ansar gathered together in Saqifah ibn Sa'idah, and they said, "We are going to appoint the Khalifa." And Abu Bakr and Umar and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah and senior Sahaba came to know about it. They realized that this could cause a split in the Ummah. They rushed to that place. And when they rushed there, they saw the Ansar were already on the verge of appointing a Khalifa from amongst them. And then when Umar radiallahu anhu saw the situation, he gave a speech. And he said, "You know the hierarchy, and you know how the Arabian Peninsula works. They would accept certain people to be their Khalifa. They would accept certain people to be their leaders. They would not accept other people to be their leaders. It is an inherent thing that they are going to accept the Quraysh as their leaders. They will not accept someone who is not from the Quraysh as their leaders, for whatever reason, because of the tribal hierarchy, etc. And therefore, if you do not have someone from the Quraysh, then the people will not accept him." And then he suggested, given the past experience of how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had alluded, he said, "Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala will be the appropriate Khalifa. Let me pledge allegiance on his hand." And when he did so, everyone else pledged allegiance. Now look again, the right word at the right time, the right argument to convince people. How many times do we employ those type of situations, and how many times do we employ that type of situation to be able to bring forward our type of objective that we wish to achieve?
Interesting indeed. And Mawla, we marvel at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One might think that this is natural because it's Sahaba and Rasulullah, so we can understand the allegiance and the love between them. But maybe you want to share
that. How do you win the heart? I mean, yeah. Look at that example. Have you got any message or something?
No, Mawla. I was just saying, maybe Mawla can share the example of Abu Mahdura, who was not a Muslim and who was mocking the Adhan. The Prophet of Allah used the right flavor and won him over.
Yes, and of course, there are a few examples that the companion, I mean, the author has given. I'm going to finish this these ones so that at least we can finish the topic in today's time and maybe use another topic the next week. But look at these two examples, very, very beautiful examples, how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, despite what these two Sahaba had done, which was regarded to be inappropriate by the other companions, how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned their hearts. And look at what they said thereafter. One is a very famous incident. Baddu comes in the Masjid al-Nabawi and he passes water, he urinates in one corner of the masjid. Sahaba get angry. They rush to go and stop him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell them, stop. What are you going to do? He's already started of what he had started to do. If now you're going to stop. You see, sometimes you always have to understand. Sometimes there's a wrong that has been done. But if you stop it at that time, you might create even more difficulty. This is another lesson we learn from the seerah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he did was not appropriate. Everyone knows you cannot urinate in the masjid. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you're going to stop him now, you're going to chase after him. Now just look at what would have happened, most likely. You would have gone and stopped him. And he would have, for example, ran away. And he would have ran, and while running, he would have still continued what he was doing. So instead of that napaki being confined to one place, he would have been right through the masjid. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Lee, he's doing it wrong, leave him now. Afterward, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the masjid is not a place for this. Sometimes you see a person doing wrong and you go and stop him at that time. He go and say inappropriate things. And you become responsible for those inappropriate things. If a person justifies a guna, aliyadu billah, ulama say it can be close to kufr. Now, how do you stop a person when he is doing that wrong? Is it the right time to go and stop him? That is why our ulama has said, you know, Mawlana Tariq Jamil makes mention of this. He said that for good, there has been no qaid, and there has been no quyud, and there has been no stages, and there has been no conditions. Mm. That whenever you want to propagate good, nothing. But when you want to prevent evil, man ra'a minkum munkiran falyughayyirhu biyadi, fa'in lam yastati' fabilisani, fa'in lam yastati' fabiqalbi. Three stages. If you see a person doing wrong, then try and stop him with your hands, meaning with authority, if you have the authority. If you don't have the authority, with your tongue. But if you feel that the tongue is also going to cause fitna, then for your qalbi, then with your, keep it as an evil in your heart. Do you see the stages in stopping evil? There is no stages in propagating good. So how do you stop evil? It's so important. Sometimes people in stopping evil, they sometimes even become even more stubborn and defiant the way you stop it. So look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And then the same Baddu, according to the author, I never knew this, but you know, it's something that we learn. When he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's method of dealing with him, was kindness preventing him from what he was doing, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day saw him, he was making dua, oh Allah, forgive. He made me this particular dua, and he said, oh Allah, have mercy upon me, and have mercy upon Muhammad, and have mercy upon no one else. Subhanallah. Can you imagine why he said that? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have restricted what is so vast. Allah's mercy is enormous to include not only the entire universe, but you have made dua, oh Allah, only have mercy upon me and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But why did he say that? Because Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who treated him that way. Other people were saying, and other people were influencing Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and telling Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to deal with him differently. And this is what happens, the right word and understanding the temperament of the person, how you change people.
It's a skill on its own. SubhanAllah, Allah give us all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live in those colors. It's 17 minutes to the hour of 10. You are listening to the social program. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. How do you quell family tensions? How do you do with feuds, family feuds? I'm sure you are using some skills. Share those skills with us, or even in your workplace or in your normal setup. There are some good experiences out there that people can learn from. Marana, we can continue.
There's, of course, the other example that the author has given was Muawiyah bin Hakam. He was a regular companion. He did not live in Medina. He did not accompany Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam often. He had a cattle in the desert to tend. One day, he came to Medina Munawwara. He sat in the gathering of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. and his companions as they were discussing the etiquette of sneezing. And one of the etiquettes, Nabi Akram Sallam taught that if one hears his brother sneeze and then praise Allah, he should say to him, Yarhamukallah. So when the person sneezes, says Alhamdulillah, the person should say in response, Yarhamukallah. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala committed this to his memory. He was a young Sahabi. After a few days, he returned to Medina to fulfill a need and entered the masjid where Nabi Akram Sallam was praying with his companions and performing salat. So he joined them. As he was praying, one of the companions sneezed. And before he could say Alhamdulillah because he was in salat, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala remembered that he was supposed to respond. So he hurriedly, because what he had heard, not understanding the context, said in a loud voice, Yarhamukallah. So people who were praying became confused and began to look at him with this approving looks. When he noticed the commotion, he became confused and said, "Woe be to me. Why are you people staring at me?" The companions began to strike their hands on their thighs, insisting that he be silent. And he complied. When the prayer was over, when the salat was over, Nabi Akram Sallam turned to the congregation. He had heard the commotion. He heard someone saying loud, Yarhamukallah. He heard the Sahaba banging their heads on their thighs to tell him to keep quiet. And he heard him saying, why are you staring and why are you telling me this? I can't understand this. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked who spoke. And the people pointed at Muawiyah. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, I was terrified as I did not know what would happen to me for interrupting the prayer and ruining the concentration of people's prayer in Salat. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, I went in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then afterwards when he raised the incident, he said, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon him. He called me and said, oh Muawiyah, with these etiquettes of sneezing is there on his place. But that is when people are not performing prayer. When people are performing prayer and performing Salat, and then when they sneeze, you are not supposed to say Yarhamukallah loud. And then Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, Muawiyah bin Hakam radiallahu ta'ala, concludes the incident with his words, Ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qablahu wala ba'dahu ahsana min. I never saw a teacher before or after better than the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the situation with regard to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala by using the right flavor in dealing with what some of the Sahaba did indicate to it being inappropriate, but how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam captured his heart. And we have to see, how do we do with regard to these matters?
Subhanallah, interesting indeed. And this tells you that you have to keep in mind the different temperaments of people. He understood the Sahaba on one side, why they were up in arms, and he also understood the Sahabi from his anger.
Definitely.
And he kept both parties happy, man.
And look at how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with the person who urinated in the masjid and the man who spoke during the prayer, taking into consideration their situation, since people in their position are bound to make mistakes, though they were not consistently in the gathering and in the company and in the majlis of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then look at how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with someone who was more closer. These were people who were not close and they did not understand. Yet at the same time, they were people who were close. And when they were close, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expected them to understand things. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them differently. And Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu used to perform Isha, and he returned to his people to lead them in Isha in their masjid. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given him the responsibility of performing Isha in one of the outskirts of Medina in one of the masjid. However, Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came and performed the salat, he used to read very long salat because now he was now full of spiritual energy after being in the company of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to recite Surah Baqarah. Right now, the people who were there in that masjid, they used to work tirelessly in the fields with their cattle all day long. They would just impatiently just wait for the Isha and perform Isha and go to sleep. So this young person joined the congregation as Muadh radiallahu anhu continued to recite. When the prayer became too long for him to bear, he isolated himself from the congregation, performed his prayer on his own, left the masjid for his house. When Muadh radiallahu anhu finished, some people said, oh Muazz, so and so person joined the congregation, but since your prayer was too long, he left. Muazz became angry and said, has he the disease of hypocrisy that he left the Salat? And then Muaz radiallahu anhu said, I will go and inform Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he had did. When the young person came to know about what Muaz had said, that they are going to take the complaint to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also went, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and both of them came, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard what they were saying. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to one side. He asked the young person, he said, Ya Rasulullah, whole day we are in the field. We come back and we just wait for Isha to go and perform, to go and sleep, because whole day we have been tired, and we are completely tired, we want to go and sleep. And Muaz radiallahu anhu is reading Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. I hope some of the imams might be listening to this. Anyway, when he finished, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Muaz, what, is it true? He said, yes, I read it because I've got the spiritual energy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Muaz, are you turning people away from Allah? Oh Muaz, are you turning people from Allah? Are you a troublemaker? Why are you distressing the people and repelling them from religion? Are you turning people away from religion? Recite, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Where are you going to recite whole of Surah Baqarah when people are so tired? He then turned to the young person and said, what do you do, dear Nafi, when you pray? And he said, I recite the Fatiha, then I ask Allah Ta'ala for paradise, and I seek his refuge from Jahannam. The man then remembered that he often saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making long supplication, and Muaz doing the same. I do not know what you and Muaz chant, meaning I do not know what type of long supplication you make. Look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people who were novices, and how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with Muaz. A'lamu bil halali wal haram, Muaz ibn Jabal. Oh Muaz, are you turning people away from religion? Are you causing fitna? Look at how great this thing. The young person was greatly affected by Muaz's accusation of hypocrisy against him. And he said, rather, Muaz will come to know on the day of people, on the day the people will come to tell us what the enemy is approaching. Muaz will discover what I do in jihad, whether I'm a hypocrite or not. And not long afterwards, there occurred a battle in which this young man was martyred. And when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam found out that he was martyred, he said to Muaz, oh Muaz, what happened to that person whom you had accused of being a hypocrite? Oh Muaz, what happened to that person whom you had accused of being a hypocrite? You came saying, without understanding his situation, you said he's a hypocrite because he went away from the masjid early because of your long salat. And you said that he's got a seed of hypocrisy and you came to complain to me. What has happened, oh Muaz? He has sacrificed his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, fattanun anta ya Muaz. This is amazing. It's like a person who is employed by you. He makes a mistake the first day. Obviously, you're not going to rebuke him in a way that you rebuke a person who's working 15, 20 years for you.
Definitely.
And we see this also, mashallah, with Mulan Bam also when you go to the Jamiat sometimes. Because you expect the person who's working for long under you to know your temperament and to follow suit, Mulan.
Yeah, definitely.
The lines are open, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Or alternatively, 083-786-2859. And Murad, this also shows you the sincerity of Muadh radiallahu ta'ala, that he did not cut off relations with the Prophet of Allah.
Yes.
Sometimes when you are very close to a sheikh or a spiritual mentor and you get the tongue lashing for your sake, for your improvement, many people are unable to swallow that or unable to digest it, and as a result, they cut themselves off.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing one.
Definitely. An amazing thing is this, that you look at this, there's one more incident that the author have made mention, and all of this, he's put an opinion at the end of the chapter. Do you think that people are of a similar nature? No, they differ tremendously.
Mm.
And it's something for us to remember, that this particular aspect is, how do you deal with people according to their temperaments? Look at the beautiful examples of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this situation.
Yes, indeed. Marana, we can continue. We've got about another 7 minutes, inshallah.
Yes. And of course, the one beautiful example that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind for us. Here we see the different examples Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. And this one beautiful example is the example of Usama bin Zaid, who was one of the warriors. And one of the very famous people, the beloved of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when he sent him to one of the battles, and this was a battle to one of the sub-tribes of the Juhayna tribe. Juhayna was a very famous tribe in Arabian Peninsula, Osama bin Zayd was one of the warriors. The battle commenced in the morning, and the Muslim became victorious, and the enemy fled. A man from among the pagans saw that his people were defeated, so he threw down his weapons and he fled. A man from the Ansar and Osama radiallahu ta'ala began to chase him as he attempted to escape in terror until he hid behind a tree. Osama and Ansari caught up with him and raised their sword about to strike him. When he saw the two swords above his head about to come down upon him, realized that death was at his doorstep, he recited, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Osama and the Ansari were puzzled. Did he accept Islam sincerely? Or did he simply say this to save his neck? Why did he say? What did he say with regard to this? Apparently it seemed that he did it to save his neck. They were in the middle of a battle, surrounded by bodies, blood and flesh. As the man looked on, they had to make a quick decision, for they had could have been struck by an arrow any time. They could have been killed by the very same person who could have read the kalima, and thereafter, after reading the kalima and saving his life, and they would have hesitated, he could have turned against them. So at that time, not knowing what to do, no time to contemplate, the Ansari was held. Osama thought that it was a trick, so he struck him with a sword and killed him. They returned to Medina victorious. Osama radiallahu anhu stood in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him the entire story, including what happened to the man they killed. The story was that of a Muslim victory, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rejoicing until Osama then said, after he recited the kalima, I killed him because I thought that he was reciting the kalima to save his life and he was not sincere. The circumstances did indicate and allude to the fact that he was not sincere, because he said it only when his life was in danger. He didn't say it earlier when his life was not in danger. Osama said he did not say it intentionally. He only said it out of fear of his life. But when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam when heard it, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated his question and said, did he say the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and then you killed him? Did you fa'alla shakakta kalba? Did you split open his heart to know for certain that he had only said it out of fear of your weapons and fear for death? How sure were you that he had said it? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fixed his eyes upon Usama and kept repeating, did he say La ilaha illallah and you killed him? Did he say La ilaha illallah and then you killed him? How will you deal with the kalima La ilaha illallah when the kalima La ilaha illallah will come against you on the day of judgment? Usama radiallahu anhu said, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to repeat himself until I wished I had only accepted Islam on that day. You know, and the author said, do you think that people are of a similar nature? Rather, they differ tremendously. Here, the great lesson is, we are not in a position to judge the iman of people. We are not there to call people who are there as munafiqs. That is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge people. If a person comes to you and say that he is a Muslim, then it is our responsibility to take him at face value to regard himself as a Muslim. To say that he's a munafiq and hypocrite is not our responsibility. That is the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, in a nutshell, as Mawlana shared so many incidents from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we can say, when the Prophet of Allah was on the battlefield, people saw his valor and his heroism. When he was with his wife, they saw his romance or his lovable side. When he was with his senior Sahaba, they saw his seniority and they saw how he dealt with them. When he was with the ordinary people, they saw how he came down to their level. When he was with the youngsters, when the children, he engaged in their activities and he played with them. So when a person studies the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he understands that he used the right flavor for the right occasion with the right people, and accordingly he was able to achieve results. And that's what we need to do. We cannot use the same tactic right across the board. We have to change and adjust and adapt accordingly, Munara.
Definitely. And that's the thing. And use the right flavor with the right words, with the right temperament, for the right people. Use the right people to be able to achieve specific objectives. Such beautiful example that has been given from the life of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us realize the worth of the Prophet of Almighty Allah in every occasion of our life and put it into practice.
Allah, JazakumAllah for your time, much appreciated. I hope to speak to you next week, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.